Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Those are all plus my man back here. Hey, you're in the room all by yourself, dude. No, you're all right. That's okay. All right, here we go. All right, you good here?
You like that one? Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Oh, look at Jake. I got Jake good there. All right, then. I'm trying to make you guys happy.
So I just tweeted out a picture. I just tweeted out a picture of Steven and Jake embracing one another in the studio, hugging each other for comfort. So I believe now Sam Mellinger is going to be on the phone to verbally hug us.
Hello, sir.
What's up, guys?
What's the big storylines coming out of Denver?
The run defense.
Nine sacks.
Thank you.
Nine sacks. Wow.
Thank you.
Nine.
Tell me everything you know about the Mahomes injury right now. Don't hold anything back. Exhaust all your sources. Go.
You know what? I was, first of all, there is a feeling in the front office and around the locker room that they've avoided the worst. And second of all, I walked in there, and maybe this was me being stupid, right? But I was just really surprised at the vibe of that team. You know, from the moment that they came off the field, you heard them screaming and laughing and excited coming out the tunnel. Tammy Reed, and she always does this, but Andy's wife is outside the locker room door giving everybody a high five. Brett Veach is out there. You go into the locker room, and it's the same. And I was just surprised, you know. Usually when there's a major injury, especially to a player of that caliber, and even more than that, a player who is loved as much as Patrick is, there's a little bit more, I don't know if sadness is the right word, but there's just a different vibe, and they didn't have that. And I think there's a few reasons for that. I think, first of all, I think that they avoided the worst, or at least that's what that's the feeling right now, that Patrick walked off the field, you know, first with some help and then eventually with his own power, and was strong enough to address the team afterward and you know, gave him kind of the same breakdown talk after the game that he would have if he finished the game. I think that had a huge deal, a huge part of it. But I think there was also just the way they played, and they needed something like this. You know what I mean? Like, it had been a rough couple weeks with those losses, and especially on the defense, those guys had been, you know, ridiculed in a lot of places. Raises hands, guilty, you know? So I think the vibe was just something that you would not have expected if the 24-year-old, much-loved reigning MVP goes down with a gruesome injury.
Look, I'm with you. I mean, you know, I think Mahomes... well, even that injury, like, showed toughness and leadership, you know, waving off the cart because, you know, clearly he didn't want his teammates to see him be taken off the field on the cart. And then for anyone that stuck with the television broadcast to the end, they showed, you know, Mahomes in the locker room with teammates gathered around him. Jake, play, if you got play that, with, you know, kind of giving them a little pep talk, just getting everyone fired up, and I'm sure, like, you know, the players don't know, they don't know what's going on after he goes back there and probably expecting the worst, but to see him waiting, you know, back there in the locker room, Jake, and this is what it was.
Hey, take care of yourself this weekend. Enjoy yourself. Be smart. You got more to go, baby.
Hell yeah!
So Chiefs up 3-1-2-3.
Chiefs.
You know, and it's the little things, and I'm sure some people out there will roll their eyes, but no. I mean, that's my quarterback. That's Mahomes. And he was there waiting for his teammates, getting them fired up. And I'm sure that meant something to them. And to your point also, after Patrick Mahomes leaves the game, that game was up in the air. There was nothing decided. That could have gone either way. And that defense kicked the living you-know-what out of the Denver Broncos, embarrassed them on their home field, dominated them, 9 sacks. Even Matt Moore got in the act with a 57-yard touchdown pass, and he was able to sidestep that pressure, step up in the pocket, and deliver the ball on time. Man, you know, if you want to be an optimist, this could be a rallying point, and this defense now has some confidence, and you're coming together to win some games in Patrick Mahomes' absence, and when he comes back, let's roll. So I'm just trying to talk myself into a good mood. Sam Mellinger, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it is right now. You know, and again, they feel like they've avoided the worst, and that can't be emphasized enough. You know, neither can the fact that they don't know for sure, right? But he hasn't had the MRI yet. But there is an optimism, at least a cautious optimism, that they're going to get him back. Now, look, the vibe after you beat the pee out of your rival on the road like that, in a spot where you just needed it. And plus, I've always thought, this is just me, but I've always thought that a Thursday night win, there's a little bit extra excitement in the locker room because they know they got a few extra days off. You know what I mean? I've always thought that. But that excitement right now, you know, it's different than, and look, no offense, like Matt Moore is one of the best, I don't know, 70 people in the world that do his job, something like that. So I don't want this to come across as insulting or dismissive or whatever, but you know the vibe when you do that in Denver, in the immediate aftermath, is probably a little bit different than, you know, they're going to come in next week and they're going to have to game plan for the Packers with Matt Moore and not Patrick Mahomes, you know, and so there will be a reality that hits. But I'm just saying, like, look, think about it like this. So this is the way that I've been thinking about it. The Chiefs for a long time have talked a lot about how they have a really strong locker room and how they have a group of guys who pull together, who believe in each other, who want to succeed individually but work just as hard for the man next to them, right? Like, we've heard that for years. And for the most part, I think they've been right. But you don't really know. You don't really know until you hit something. And this is that something. And look, like, the first test, and the second test, I consider the first test how they played after, when it's 10-6 and at the goal line. Now they settled for a field goal there, if I remember right. But then, like you said, just turn that thing into the kind of blowout where Broncos fans were leaving in the third quarter. That's the first test. Passed it convincingly. The second test is what do you look like in the locker room afterward? And passed that test convincingly. The more important tests are going to come. But my goodness, like and. Like, this is not a good thing, right? But I do believe that you find out some stuff about a team by how they respond. And whether it's 3 weeks, whether it's 6 weeks, whether it's more than that, they're 5-2 right now. And, you know, they're playoff chances. And once you get in the playoffs, you've got a chance, right? I think the first-round bye is probably gone, right, realistically. But, you know, their playoff chances hinge on how they respond without him, and that was a hell of a first impression.
Of course, you don't have to name names, but when you say that there was that feeling that they avoided disaster or avoided the worst, is that just a vibe you were getting, or did someone of substance say to you, hey, we dodged a bullet here?
Yeah, you know what? It's both, and they're probably related, right? But, yeah, I mean, somebody who absolutely knows what they're doing and is, you know, been in the room. There's cautious optimism there. So that is probably the most important part. But I also think that, again, like you just talked about it, maybe it's stupid, maybe football's too, you know, testosterone or whatever, but walking off the field and not on a cart. And then when they come back in, look who's there to greet them with a big old smile and a congratulations for a win. And, you know, he doesn't look affected. And, you know, that's a – I know, like, most of what we've talked about on the show for the last 2 years turns into, you know, just like a Patrick Mahomes appreciation, right? But
good.
He would be an incredible quarterback if it was just about his talent. You know what I mean? And he would be a really good quarterback if he had average talent, but, you know, just the sort of calm and decision-making and all that he has. He would still be a pretty special quarterback, I think, if he was just, you know, as talented as anybody else, but, like, you know, not the talent that he has now, but he had this leadership that we keep talking about, you know, and it is a hard thing. I know that his talent and winning the MVP his first year as a starter, that makes it easier, but the process of him winning the respect of his teammates started when he was a know-nothing rookie, when he was the guy that they traded up to pick, which meant not selecting a piece that could have helped them in 2017, you know? And it started with him keeping his mouth shut and working hard, and it continued when he got the job and what he did with it. And everything, you know, he is a rare guy in that the crustiest, most cynical, hard-ass coach has to respect the way that he works and the way that he approaches his job and the way that he values football. And he is also loose enough and funny enough and personable enough to hang out with anybody on that team. And I know his talent gives him a huge boost in all those things, but that is a rare, rare thing.
So it sounds like best case scenario, we're still looking at least two, if not four games of the Matt Moore era to begin. And I think we've all been around football enough around here to understand how the practice reps work in the NFL. So this, I guess, isn't stunning, but somehow it still is just kind of mind-boggling to me what you tweeted out last night, which was that Travis Kelce said three or four guys on offense had never caught a single pass from Matt Moore in practice or anywhere else, and here he is in prime time on an NFL field throwing passes to these guys. I don't know. It's just, it's, even though I know that's how it works, it's hard for me to wrap my head around that. And I guess, like, what can we expect if he actually gets to practice with these guys a little bit? Can they piece enough of an offense together with these weapons to keep their head above water for that time?
Tyreek Hill is not one of the guys who has never caught a pass, but that was only because he ran scout team with Matt Moore before the Texans game. So, look, the offense has to change a ton. And, you know, yeah, right, like, of course, Sam. But there were guys in the locker room talking about, like, no, we're going to do the same stuff. You know, and Andy Reid is talking about, you know, we didn't back off our play calling, anything like that. But come on, the offense just has to change. Matt Moore was, you know, the Chiefs' best option at the time when Chad Henne goes down. But he was also unemployed. You know, he was back home, and if anybody in football thought he could do this at a high level, he would have been on the team, you know? So they've got to change a lot. And again, I'm trying to walk this line, right, of being realistic, and I don't want to insult Matt Moore. He's a really good quarterback. He's a high level. He made it to the NFL and played a long time. But he's not – look, just the fundamental part, he's not nearly as mobile. He's not as athletic. When the pocket breaks down, Steven, you just made a really good point on that touchdown to Tyreek Hill. He handled that pocket perfectly. Didn't panic, stepped up into the pocket toward pressure with his eyes downfield and made a nice, accurate pass. I think he got knocked down. I know he got hit, but and he got knocked down over and over. He's going to have to do that. You know, he's going to have to manage the pocket because he's not going to be able to break the pocket like Patrick Mahomes. You know, arm strength, obviously, right? Not just downfield, but one thing that Mahomes does really well, one of the million, he gets the ball out really quickly and with a lot of velocity. You know, those quick hits, those quick screens, you know, wide receiver behind the line of scrimmage, he can get the ball there just so much faster, not just because of the release time, but the velocity. That's gone. You know, there's a lot of things like that. I think what they're going to have to rely on is, I think Matt Moore's a really smart guy. I believe that he knows the offense by now. And what I think what they're going to have to rely on is a lot of timing, and Andy Reid is going to have to take on a lot more of the burden. You know, he's going to have to scheme some stuff. He's going to have to get guys open with his play calling. Some of that is, you know, rub routes and things like that. I know they got called, I think it was Pringle, got called for, you know, what do they call it? Holding, right? But basically just a rub route, an illegal rub route. They're going to have to do stuff like that, but it's going to look a lot different. It's going to look just a lot different.
Hey, Sam, before we let you go, got to bring up, again, the defense, because it was a marvelous performance, but look, Reggie Ragland, we wondered how he would fit in to this defense under Steve Spagnuolo. He's been inactive several times. But my goodness, what a performance from him. And he does have the reputation of being a thumper, being a run stopper. But, you know, for this defense to do what it needs to do over the next month or so, however long they play without Mahomes, everyone's got to step up. He was a big, big part of that. And look, you know, maybe, to me, the biggest problem was the linebackers last week. Maybe more Reggie Ragland can help keep that run defense more consistent. But what a hell of a performance from a guy who was pretty much forgotten the first month of the season.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, me and Sam McDowell were down there outside the locker room before it opened to us and just talking about, you know what, like, even if Patrick Mahomes just had an average game but just a healthy game, there would be a million things to talk about. A million things to get into, and Ragland is certainly at the top of that list. The linebackers, I'm with you. I thought the linebackers were a disaster last week, and you know, and I thought even more so when I watched the game again. It was just terrible, slow to spots, missing tackles. I mean, just whatever you could do wrong, they were doing wrong, and they were amazing last night. They were absolutely terrific. Anthony Hitchens too, coming back. That made a really, really big difference. Now look. The Broncos might have been the right opponent in that moment. You know, Joe Flacco is a statue. They could tee off a little bit, you know, certainly in a different way than you can when it's Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson. Reggie Ragland has always been, you know, had that reputation in the run game. The reason he's not playing is they wanted more speed, right? And the Broncos aren't a particularly fast team. So I don't think they were really able to take advantage of that, or see if they could take advantage of that, I should say. The Packers are a different challenge. The Packers do have a lot of speed. They obviously have one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So it's going to be a much different challenge. But just, you know, the secondary I thought was really good. And the linebackers were terrific. But also in front of them, the defensive line was really good. Frank Clark had a hell of a game. Other than the one thing, right? Other than the only thing that really feels like it matters at this moment, everything else was so positive, encouraging for the Chiefs, especially in that spot after the last 2 weeks.
Sam Mellinger and MRI. I've heard noon. Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah, sometime today. Yeah.
Will you be in the room watching live?
Yeah, I will. I am doing my best to figure out what's going on. Right. And, you know, obviously nobody wants to wait longer than they have to hear.
Go ahead and text me first, and then we'll go from there. Thanks, Sam.
I will. I'll do that. Appreciate then I'll call that. My boss.
There you go. All right. Thank you. That's Sam Mellinger. Okay. All right. Come and see me at Kansas City Credit Union today. From 11 until 1. Taco Truck will be there. Let's do it. Any 810 listener that comes in and opens a savings account, they'll put $25 in that savings account to start you off on the right foot. Back after this. Oh, it's off Eastwood Trafficway behind Peachtree Buffet. Just a couple of minutes from the stadiums. KansasCityCreditUnion.com for more information on Sports Radio 810 WHB.